Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here, as the aforementioned deep voice man established. Across from me is Mr. Ben Reichle. He's a Republican committee person. He's a father. He's a businessman. He's one of hundreds of co-owners of LB Water. He's a conservative, Republican, and natural-born listener. He's an American first. He too was
a lot of stuff.
Right,
I'm just a co-host.
It's a lot of hats.
I'm just a co-host today here, but we have some great guests here and some great information.
He's a Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA member too. We see him there working out.
Yeah, great. I hope they got the steam room working.
Oh, is it not working again?
Hint.
Okay. There you go.
Need to warm up.
Get a little pressure going there. All right. So Ben Reichle is with us on the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We have in the studio today, Bob Garrett is here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Welcome aboard, sir.
Great to be here, Mark. Thanks thanks again for having us.
And John Ewling's out of town, and he's a lame duck anyway, so the chairman-elect is here. Sue Green is here, chairman-elect of the Chamber Board and administrator for the Penn State Executive Programs and the Smeal College of Business. So welcome aboard.
Well, thank you, Mark.
I really appreciate you coming in. Explain a little bit about what the Smeal College of Business is all about and the executive programs and the hard work that you do.
Sure. Actually, I'm one of the directors there, and our executive programs covers several portfolios. Basically, our number one would be supply chain, education, learning, leadership and strategy, and then we do all the way down to frontline supervisor management training. So we spend a lot of time working with folks all over the world. Our folks travel globally and locally.
All right, move just another inch closer to that mic, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
And this is, you would like everybody in the Central Susquehanna Valley to know that if you need a connection to Penn State, the Chamber of Commerce is working closely with that connection, that this is a bit of an in. You can save a couple bucks, and you can definitely get connected to the university and continue your education.
Absolutely. I have a colleague that works directly with the Chamber, too, for the World Campus, and we offer through a benefit option that folks can get a reduction on their tuition for online training, too, and earn their degrees through the World Campus.
You got some takers for that, Bob?
Yeah, I think we've had several dozen every semester, and it seems to be growing and growing and growing. It's a great member benefit, and one of those benefits that when you go out and talk about the Chamber of Commerce, it's one of those things that people don't realize. Chambers of Commerce do that, and it's very interesting. But then what Sue does is we can really we can customize training. We can develop the leadership training, the soft skills training, those kind of training that I think of as sort of in-service training, where a company wants to make investments in their supervisors or want to make investments in their people so they can grow their leaders internally. That's what Sue does best.
All right. Well, these are great opportunities. So we can dwell on these on another program.
So you and I can get signed up for, Mark and I can get signed up for that sports and recreation online class.
There you go.
There you go.
Sports and recreation.
Or parks management.
You know, Ben, you just never know where Ben might be coming from next. You know, I thought you'd sign up to learn how to make a 99-yard run back last night.
Mark and I are looking at parks and recreation as a second career, right, Mark?
What are you saying, Ben?
We'll be out there getting the leaves off, making sure the park benches are clean.
Oh, so many years ago, I remember the parks and recreation majors at Penn State wearing T-shirts. Let's park can recreate. Right.
Yeah. Well, we are going to talk about the jobless figures that are out. The U.S. economy adding 155,000 jobs, as predicted 12 short hours ago by Bob Garrett. Hey, and unemployment stays at 3.7%. Some initial reaction,
well,
Bob?
Actually, just to fill in some of the details behind those numbers is the economists were actually consensus was it was probably going to be closer to 200,000, 198,000 jobs created. So that's why when you heard the news, the breaking news, and they said it's a little bit less than what they were expecting at 155,000, that's where that came from, that it was just slightly less than what we were expecting. We were expecting the unemployment rate to stay at 3.7%, a 49-year low, and it did. Now, what we'll be watching as the half hour unfolds here, a little more information about wages, but it sounded like what we heard was 3.1%, which we were actually thinking we might see 3.2% this year, which would be a decade high year over year wage increase. The idea behind all this, just to give folks a better idea of what's going on, is as the labor market is continuing to tighten and tighten and tighten, the thought is that wages will go up. That's basic economics. Is the less of something you have and the more demand you have, the more expensive it comes. The more of something you have and the less demand you have, the cheaper it becomes. Well, we keep thinking that wages are going to go up, but it's a new world out there. And, certainly this morning, the market, we expected the market was going to open slightly down, about 160 points down. With this news and the fact that they're probably going to have yet another, a ninth rate increase from the Feds, the market's going to go wild this morning. And what a wild week it's been with all the news with the Chinese diplomat being taken off of the airplane in Canada, and what's that doing for IT stocks, et cetera. Well, welcome to the new world order of confusion.
Well, the part about this is finally we have an administration standing up to China and calling China out for what they've been doing for decades and what they do. The Asians are not innovators in a lot of ways. They're imitators, and they're great. They steal, they acquire, they do whichever, and then they go over and they imitate. And I'm not saying that's 100%, but it's well into it, and we've known that for decades. And finally, somebody in this administration, the president, is starting to say, no, our American goods are our goods, intellectual goods, and we're not going to let you folks steal these. And here we see what happens.
Interesting that you say imitators, not innovators, and that really gets to the bottom line. What is the main ingredient for an economy to grow? Well, mm-hmm. You think people, but the other thing is innovation, and that making that investment back into research and development, those kind of things. The kind of things that Sue does at Penn State every day are critically important to the government. And you're right that China is doing a terrible job. They're probably investing even less than we are in research and development in China. They just steal everything from us and just try to make it a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, it's great R&D when you don't have to pay for it.
Steal it.
All right, Sue, some initial reaction to the jobless numbers that are rolling out.
Well, it's interesting because I work with a lot of businesses, and the whole workforce development piece, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's scary out there. It's hard finding folks that want to come to work and stay. And as those numbers shrink, I think it's going to be tougher. So, and we're one of the lowest counties, and we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be a little tricky here.
And what do you see on Wall Street? What happens when, there might be a question mark related to interest rates, jobless numbers are steady, wages are going up?
I see that the market will probably end, it'll open and it'll go straight down, and there'll be a lot of people buying for bargains, and it'll go straight up.
Yeah, it goes on sale this morning, and, yep, and you buy that. But the other part about this is, the Fed has to personally take a step back and relook at some of this. When they say earlier this year that there's probably going to be 4 rate increases, how in the Sam Hill do you know there's going to be 4 rate increases?
You have a crystal ball.
In January, when you're, in October, you're going to, come on. So the Fed needs to get unpolitical and then start to look at some. The other part about this is the computer trading, the analytics. the algorithms that go in. So when things tilt a little bit, I think on Tuesday that, oh, these are somewhat recession-type things that happen, or these analytics, and then all of a sudden computers kick in and start selling off, and it's down $7.99 on Tuesday, and then people are wondering, hold it. There are no real recession numbers, but in the formulas, the algorithms, it sort of showed one or two, so then all of a sudden computer trading kicks in. So it would be interesting to talk to somebody who is savvy on Wall Street and understands what's going on, but I think your point, Bob, you said earlier in a way, I'm paraphrasing, times have changed.
They have. And there's what we need is innovation. And I suggested that, you know, the old traditional numbers, the unemployment rate, the participation rate, all those, we know that those things are all as low as they're going to get. And I'm suggesting that there's going to be an emergence here at the end of 2018 of a much more important number, and that's the inflation number. It's interesting, and we'll talk about this as the show goes on, but it's interesting that when we were out doing our survey of our members, that, and that was back in the summer, they were saying to us, you know, the cost of business is really going up, and that's another way of saying inflation. And I think what you're going to see the Feds is, rather than trying to do these trying to understand what does it mean if we go from 3.7% unemployment to 3.6% unemployment, or if participation goes from 62.9 to 62.8, what difference does it make? Well, what we are seeing, because wages are not moving, what we're seeing is it doesn't seem to make a difference. What makes a difference is the cost of doing business is going up, and that really matters to the long-term prosperity of our businesses.
Well, you see your bar graph now. There's your number, 62.9 for the month of November, and so it stays the same. It, you know, the bar graph shows all these wild fluctuations, but what it is it's between 62.7 and 63%, so it's a very narrow window, but it looks pretty dramatic on that graph.
Well, I think I've heard you say in previous months we're bouncing along the bottom, and we're still bouncing along the bottom.
Well, if you look
on
the,
that's what your bar graph would look like if you had a heavy weight on the bottom of your trout lure, and you're bouncing along the bottom of Penn's Creek. That's exactly what it would look like.
Because I think January 2008 was 66%. Participation.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
So when we look back over 10 years,
right.
We've gone
right.
from 66 or 66 point something down to 62.9 or even lower.
Actually, right now we're looking at the decade. And what's really interesting, at least I find very interesting, is when you look at a 50-year chart or now a 75-year chart on participation, because what you see is sometime in the early 1940s, this number just shoots straight up. You know, it was right about where it is right now, 65%, 62%, somewhere in there. And then World War II began, and we know what happened then. Rosie the Riveter joined the labor force, and what happened was, after the war, Rosie the Riveter didn't go back home. She stayed in the labor force, and it changed the way we look at labor statistics ever since.
It wasn't just Rosie. You know, people talk about some things that happened. It was also immigration, because there was a number of immigrants that came to the United States during World War II, particularly from Mexico, that filled in a lot of the positions. That's, and we're talking heavy agriculture, and we're talking into the manufacturing side.
Well, and look, before that, who took the coal out of the coal mines?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all those all that diversity that we still have in places like Coalmont and Shamokin and Mount Carmel is still there. Those are the folks that came to America to take the coal out of the coal mines.
And they brought soupies and pierogies.
Well, there's your,
excellent.
There's your number going back to 1950. Dale, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just been telling these guys, I think, for the last 2 years.
I can't hear you. Speak up, buddy. Speak up. Go ahead.
I think I've been telling these guys for 2 years. Well, the bigger the government gets, more budget, more money. And if you're subsidizing work, you're borrowing money. Can you hear me?
Just barely, but go ahead. If you're subsidizing work,
okay.
You're borrowing money.
Yeah, you're borrowing our grandchildren's money. So, you know, that phrase that Obama said, lipstick on a pig, because someone tried to tell Obama to sell the whole thing that Trump is selling, the parrot. So I'm just telling you guys right now, recession is on its way. I mean, we are not creating nothing, and the Fed will not raise rates. I'll bet you anything on that. I said that. They ain't budged. All they do is keep on talking. So we're not producing nothing. We didn't loosen up regulations.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much.
We're not manufacturing. What we're manufacturing is lip service. And anyone who believes that the pirate, whatever he says, because he's a good pirate, he's not a president.
All right, we got you, brother. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Great observations. So we'll take a quick break. We're going to talk about the strategic plan when we come back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Sue Green, Chairman-elect of the Chamber and the Director of Corporate Learning with the Penn State Executive Programs at Smeal College of Business. They're always looking for learning solutions. When it comes to solutions, you got to have a plan if you want to know where you're going. What does the Google map for the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce say?
What?
Your strategic plan.
I see, that was a question. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I don't know. Where would I find that Google map? But hey, Mark, I do want to address something that Dale brought up before the break. You know, Dale made a very good point that, you know, in the 70s and 80s, a lot of manufacturing left North America, I'll say, particularly the United States. A lot of manufacturing left. What we work on in the chamber is something we're calling reshoring. So for those companies who left, that are now finding that they're getting an inferior product or getting a product that isn't holding up as well as when it was made here in the United States by skilled laborers are moving back. We're working through reshoring to do that. The other thing is that we're working very closely. Now, our chamber, quite honestly, is not actively out beating the bushes trying to bring new businesses in here. And that's largely because we don't have enough people in the greater Susquehanna Valley to fill the jobs that we currently have. But having said, we aren't actively out recruiting. We do recruit, and we certainly leave the welcome mat out for folks. And I would invite folks to keep an ear to the radio because we'll have a couple of announcements coming up pretty soon with a couple of new plants coming into the area that'll be good employers in the agricultural area and in the energy area. So just stay tuned.
Well, and that's good news for wages. You know, we keep talking about what's it going to take to budge wages. Now they've started the move, and lots of demand creates wage increases.
Well, and you know, I get dinged every now and then because the chamber is not at the forefront, certainly, of any minimum wage increase. We frankly believe that that wages is a relationship between the employer and the employee, rather than between the employer, the government, and the employee. But we do encourage wage increases. That if there's a way that you get more money to your workers, that's going to help the economy everywhere. And particularly this time of year, we think about consumer confidence. And what would give more consumer confidence than anything else at this point would be news that, hey, you're getting a 5% pay raise for next year. You're getting a nice year-end bonus, something like that.
All right, your strategic plan.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to just spend a couple of minutes on that. on this, and this will become the platform, if you will, when Sue becomes the chairman of the chamber. That'll happen as the ball is dropping in Times Square. Sue will emerge as our new chairman, and John will go running out into the woods somewhere. I'm really hoping that he's listening this morning.
He's been referred to as
running out in the woods and lame duck. That's what it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I almost said he's limping out in the woods. Put the lame duck and the run in the woods together. But we did go out and survey our members and have put together a strategic plan for the next 2 years. We've tweaked the current plan we have, Path of Prosperity, which I think most people are familiar with. But our number one priority is going to be the cost of doing business. All those issues, everything related to health insurance costs, to inflation costs, to raw product costs, et cetera, anything we can do to help keep down the cost of doing business. Number two issue, and don't think of these as high priority, low priority. They're all high priority. But the second issue, I should say, is workforce. And that's something we've been talking about a lot, has been emerging higher and higher and higher on our priorities. And we'll continue to do some things with workforce, and you'll be seeing a lot of initiatives coming out in that regard. Third will be, go ahead, Mark.
Well, you want people to graduate from our high schools or graduate from our tech schools or graduate from our colleges and be in demand.
Yeah, well, we want them to have the skills. What we are trying to do is create an environment where the skills that employers need in the Valley are the skills that are being developed in the Valley. And that sounds easy, but it takes a lot of work to have all of the organizations working together, whether they be in economic organizations or educational organizations. And the chamber is in a unique position to create the forum for those folks to talk to each other and learn from each other, to do the teacher in the workplace tours, educator in the workplace tours, to create the websites to help people make the decisions about what jobs exist, et cetera.
All right. So, technology.
Yeah, so moving along, our third is technology. You know about our broadband initiative, which has really caught on. We've got the attention of the president and the governor. We're really doing a lot with broadband. Exciting project in Montour County that the Geisinger is helping out with Drive over there. And we have our own success stories all up and down the valley when it comes to technology. But also, the other thing in technology is we did ask the question, because we partnered with a small business development center. We said, what are the top 10 training needs that you need for your employees? And probably no surprise to anyone is number one was digital technology and number two was social media. So we're going to be doing a lot more training with Penn State, with Bucknell, with Susquehanna University, with the New Community College, with the Lackawanna College, whomever we can work with, Sun Tech, Northumberland Tech. We're going to be working with all those folks to get technology education out to as many people as we possibly can. And then the fourth one is, this is interesting, and this will be back a lot to talk about
polarization.
Polarization. It actually came out in our survey, very surprising to us, that our members are very, very concerned that particularly in the public arena, there's been so much polarization, so much talking beyond each other or yelling at each other, that when we need to get together and fix a problem, we're not going to be able to do that. And what they want us to do as a Chamber of Commerce is to provide opportunities for where folks, rather than yelling at each other, can work together to solve community issues, community problems. So we have a couple of models that we're going to be proposing, facilitation models, way to come. It's called nominal group techniques, so that groups can work together and solve problems together, because we believe that there is no problem in the greater Susquehanna Valley that cannot be solved by the people in the greater Susquehanna Valley. And we're going to provide those different models and those different opportunities. And we're in a perfect position, Mark, to do that, because we have Leadership Susquehanna Valley. We have our board of directors. We have our chair circle. We have all kinds of organizations. We have our networking with nonprofits. We have our chairman, or what are they called? Champions of industry that talk with each to get together. what we have to do is just get everybody in the same room having a conversation rather than yelling at each other and allowing ourselves to be further polarized and further painted into the corners.
Right, Sue, some reaction to these four key elements, including this one, gluing people together, and which would be really good if we could do it. And, of course, workforce, you're all about that.
I am, but I think what struck me on the polarization is when you have people actually put it out there that there's a hopelessness in the community, I think it's, you know, it's striking that they'll actually put it down, and then it becomes, it's definitely, it's not just a thing that just happened. It's just, it's been stewing, and I'm looking forward to it, and...
I mean, hopelessness in terms of poverty or politics?
I don't know if we got...
I think it's more of a hopelessness, Sue, if I can jump in and help. I think it's more... Folks are feeling a hopelessness that there's going to be issues that are going to arise and we're not going to be able to work together because we're so polarized. We're so... We disagree so passionately with each other about some other issue, important issue, immigration or whatever. Pick your issue. We disagree so much that we aren't going to be able to work together on the very specific issues that make a community a community.
Right. Okay. And we see it even in families. I mean, even in my own, you know, it's one of those things where some topics you just don't talk about because it's just not, you know, comfortable.
Don't go there. Don't go looking for trouble.
Nope.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Always
as
a pleasure, Mark.
Sue, wonderful to talk to you again. Yep. Thank you so much for coming in.
Appreciate it.
And congratulations on being the next chair. We're going to miss John Ewling, but I'll tell you what, we know you bring a lot to the table, so we're excited about where the chamber is headed. Sue Green, chairman-elect of the Chamber Board and director of corporate learning at the Penn State Executive Programs at Smule College of Business. Bob Garrett from the Chamber. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
And Ben Reichle is here as well. Now, we're going to introduce some additional guests in our studio as well in the moments ahead. But we are going to do news headlines right now. Then we'll get into an important topic that relates to medical marijuana and one of the thriving local companies around here. And we can also, there's a component to that that relates to women-owned business. So we continue the business theme on Friday. And we're going to be talking to our guests shortly. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Noray Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Traffic was backed up for hours in Sunbury Thursday after an unannounced road closure on the Veterans Memorial Bridge. A PennDOT spokesman said crews were going to do the same thing today, a peak travel day, but later postponed that work. It was a surprise to local motorists and municipalities yesterday when crews shut down a section of Route 61 on the bridge so they could pull debris from underneath the bridge piers up onto the bridge and onto trucks. As a result, traffic backed up all the way to Northumberland. PennDOT thought better of it again today with higher traffic volumes on Friday than any other day, plus holiday traffic contributing to that. They said maybe today's not the best day to shut down Route 61 over the Susquehanna River, so that will not happen today. A Valley resident made the trip to Washington, D.C. to pay her respects to former President George H.W. Bush. Fran Zartman of Sunbury was one of those who got to dwell in front of the casket.
You were allowed to dwell, and you could just be present. There was five people from every segment of the armed forces. The flag-draped casket, some flowers. There was wreaths with a banner through them for a fallen soldier. And it was very, very beautiful.
It's the second time Fran Zartman has traveled to Washington, D.C. to pay tribute to a former president lying in state. She said she went to Washington during the public viewing for former President Ronald Reagan in 2004. Pennsylvania is expanding its efforts to make the anti-overdose medication Naloxone available to the public with a statewide distribution next week. Officials said Thursday that Naloxone will be provided free to any state resident at 80 locations. Most of them are state, county, and municipal health offices from 11 to 7 on Thursday the 3rd. 13th. And the drug is regularly available at most pharmacies in Pennsylvania at little or no cost for individuals with insurance. It can reverse overdoses by blocking opioids' impact on the brain and respiratory system. Monday on this coming Monday on WKOK Sunrise, we'll talk with one of the regional medical leaders at Geisinger about this new program. Finally, Mississippi is suing three opioid distributors, saying it failed to prevent the diversion of those drugs into the state and contributed to the opioid crisis. The complaint filed in the Hinds County Circuit Court against Cardinal Health McKesson Corp. and Amerisource Bergen Corp. Attorney General Jim Hood said in a news release it alleges the companies breached their legal duties to monitor, detect, investigate, refuse, and report suspicious orders of opioids. Hood said it's a violation of the Mississippi Consumer Protection Act. As a result, Mississippi has been flooded with opioids and is suffering from an ongoing public health crisis exacerbated by the drug company. So the growing list of individuals trying to hold the opioid manufacturers accountable. WKOK News Time, it is now 9:10. Ben Reichle is my co-host, but I'm glad to say three guests are here. Krista Krebs is back, CEO and co-owner of Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness, and Paria. Welcome aboard, Krista.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in. I really enjoyed meeting you earlier this year. Medical marijuana is the through line through your companies, right?
Correct.
All right, so not growing pot for any recreational purpose, and THC makes you high, but medical marijuana doesn't have that drug.
No, there's THC in the products, absolutely. So with varying degrees and percentages in each product, and it really depends on what a patient's goals are. For severe pain management, you absolutely want a combination of the CBD and THC component.
CBD is the other active drug that I think of.
CBD is a component within medical or within marijuana, period. And you can think of it as sort of the good anti-inflammatory, like resveratrol is in wine. So it's the component that helps inflammation, helps a pain management, it works sort of internally.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you for coming in. Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness is a dispensary.
Is that
the right word? And then Paria is a growing operation.
Correct.
That's going to be underway in Northumberland County before too long, right?
Yep. That's the plan.
All right. We're going to find out a lot more about that shortly. You brought with you Melissa Foreman, who's the chief compliance officer with these two companies. Pull that mic much closer. You have to be an inch from it. So, it'll extend still farther out. So good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
For coming in. What's a chief compliance officer do at these companies?
We follow the regulations very closely with the law and make sure that we are following to a T from products, packaging, employee files, patient files, anything you can imagine that has anything to do with regulations. We just kind of make sure that we're staying in line and within regulations.
Then this is a slightly regulated industry?
Just a tiny bit.
Okay. More so than other drugs, right? Nobody
Absolutely.
Goes through this gauntlet.
Yep.
Tremendous gauntlet to grow it, tremendous gauntlet to distribute it, tremendous gauntlet just to get approved for it, right? I mean, you got to...
Oh, yeah. It was some serious hurdles that we had to get past in order to get our application all in line and submitted. And I mean, we were lucky enough to have a pretty high score to get these permits.
And then, of course, if you're an individual who is determined to need it, that's not easy either. I just can't go to my doc and say, hey, I think pot would help hook me up here.
Right. There, in Pennsylvania, honestly, the program has been such a great program overall, better than a lot of states. And the goal of the program was accessibility. You know, that's a buzzword we continue to use. And there are recommending physicians, and there's more of those that come online that have to have special training in order to be a recommending physician. And as we're expanding the footprint in Pennsylvania, more doctors are being able to see and then register the patients.
All right. Are there, before I introduce Nicole, are there some docs that say, no, I don't believe in it?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're all, everybody has their opinion on it. I came from a very conservative background, and I, through the years, have seen the wonders of this drug. So, I was one that have flipped. Doctors, they also are dealing with liability issues, and some of them just, there's not enough data for them to feel comfortable with it yet. So you know, holistic doctors are always on board.
Now, if we were talking climate, I'd call them flat earthers, but you just say more conservative.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just being polite.
Okay, all right. That's my name, not yours.
No.
I want to be clear about this.
No, it's not my name.
You're in this business to make medical friends.
Right. We want to educate. I mean, the goal would be for everybody to understand and offer an alternative to some of the other pharmaceuticals that are out there that people are taking.
Nicole Moyers is with the Director of Community Outreach and Special Programs. So pull that mic close again. Sit comfortably. Pull the mic so you're 1 inch away. And tell us what you do, this outreach effort.
So it piggybacks on what you had just spoken about. A lot of doctors don't have the education about how this can help a lot of their patients and their patient population. There's also individuals who don't know how to get involved into the program. So we do and kind of run a gamut of different type of outreach within our community. So we do individual patient outreach to kind of get people involved and registered in the program. We also do education about their type of diagnosis and what kind of products might be able to help them. We do certifications with local community businesses called like Omni that we've been working with very closely that work with a certifying doctor, because like you said, that not everybody has a doctor in their area, but they've really been able to embrace kind of the adapting of this program, and since it's so new, and they have a group of doctors that travel, and they come to your city, and they can help certify patients if you don't have an actual doctor that is in your area. So while we're trying to do physician education to get more physicians enrolled into this program, there's great businesses like Omni that are able to help with our patients that need to be able to get access to this medicine right now.
Ben?
I would say, Chris, that we talk about products. So if you're sick or you're ill or you need therapy, you go to a professional. So if I'm at the doctor's and they say you have arthritis and you need this, here are your options. So if medical marijuana is an option, what are the various products within that? Meaning that you have multiple options when it comes to traditional pharmaceuticals, pills, salves, XYZ, you know, so
right.
What are your product options?
So we have just an amazing group of growers here in Pennsylvania, and they've all developed tremendous products across the board. We have pain creams that have THC in them. My husband is actually a medical marijuana patient, and he uses a cream for his shoulder.
Rotator
cuff
injury.
And
everyone else, right?
Yeah. And it's tremendous success. And then there's tinctures. There's tablets also. You can certainly vape. And now we have flower that's legalized in Pennsylvania. So there's just a cross-section of so many opportunities for patients to sort of go in, learn, figure out what works. Because it's a bit of a learning game trying to figure out which product is actually going to zero in and do the best for your pain.
I take it the federal government's not doing you any favors, because then you start to get into the legal side of commerce.
Yes.
And which happened in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Which now, so for doctors, their insurance, their liability insurance, and you know, HIPAA scenarios. So there's still huge hurdles here for medical marijuana, especially when the federal government has not embraced it.
Right. I think we're closer than what we all think. I believe after this last election, there was 35 states now who have in the works a medical marijuana plan and program. So I think we're closer than what everybody thinks we are as far as some sort of federal reclassification. Which should happen. And quite honestly, you know, these other states are going to fall in line in the next 2 to 5 years. It's also, you know, it's a great boon for any state's revenue. So
do you look at Michigan now taking on recreational marijuana?
Sure.
Do you look at the recreational marijuana as pushing the medical, even though medical came first to some degree, but the recreational is going to push through and it'll make it easier for medical in the future?
It's chicken before the egg and egg before the chicken, depending on the state and the politics of the state. You know, we're looking at New Jersey right now, who's got recreational on their dockets. You know, they're just hammering down the details. New York right above us is considering recreational, and they've had medical. And a lot of the states, again, are following because, you know, it's a great revenue boost for each state. Pennsylvania is going to have to figure out, and they're going to figure it out sooner than later too, that we probably should participate, or else we're going to be having residents jump into the borders purchase
pot tourism or something.
Yeah.
Well, they have that with liquor now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we know it's real.
Yeah. So Pennsylvania, but you know, you have two facets here, and we'll get more into the details. You have the actual products, the actual usage, the actual promotion, and then I find it intriguing on the business side how you set up your business, because technically, in the federal government's eyes, you're an illegal business.
There are lots of attorneys and lots of accountants
and you know
involved.
What? It's all part of the game and the business, because those attorneys aren't going for free. That's not pro bono here.
No,
so there are a lot of people with their hands in the pot of the marijuana money.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, the biggest challenge, I think, for most of us in the industry is banking. Mm-hmm. And we lost in this election on a federal level a proponent creating a banking law that protects banks so that they're not so leery of joining in. In Pennsylvania, there's one large bank, and then there's some small state credit unions who are happy to participate because they can work around their state charters.
To make a business successful, whatever it is, a huge manufacturing plant or a local restaurant or somebody who's doing tailoring, it's hard enough. Now, you have a product in an industry that's moving, but you also have some archaic or non-business-like laws that are tied to your business.
Yeah, it can be very, very challenging. And again, luckily, at least in Pennsylvania, we do have a banking relationship. So everything's on the up and up, you know, for us, making sure cash gets into the bank and then dispersing checks. And there's so many, regulators, even then within the bank. We just had our first bank audit, for example, you know, making sure that there's no money laundering going on.
And when your auditors come in, do you give them
whatever they want?
Taste tests?
No.
We'd love to give our own. No, but going into that, though. Now, so the FDA, what levels of quality?
Well, Department of Health regulates us.
Regulates us. So how do you know, the levels of what you,
well,
Cadillac,
luckily,
Chevy, Ford, Lincoln? I mean, how many different products do you have?
Department of Health did a really good job of expectations and lab testing.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are growers that it took a while for them to get online because their medicine kept getting kicked back. They weren't getting the test results that the Department of Health wanted to see. So they're stringent about quality. And I wanted to point out, too, that if it ever became recreational, that doesn't push medical out.
No.
Because people still want that higher quality. It's a little bit more expensive than the recreational, but there's always a market
for it. Controlled.
Correct.
Yeah. But you're meeting standards for the medical industry of marijuana.
Sure. Chris's background has been healthcare, so we've worked with Department of Health for over 20 years. So I think that gives us an edge. To fly under our goal is to fly under the radar, not cut corners, and just do everything that.
So a cream has X. You know, you have all your products, you know, ingredients listed to meet their standards. And I say this out of quality control. How do you do quality control?
That's on the growers. We are not allowed to open the packages.
Okay.
We've had patients bring back products, and it goes straight back to the grower processor. Mm-hmm. We file with them and report it to Department of Health if there's any adverse effects or any inconsistencies.
All right. Well, we are talking about medical marijuana, the growing industry. We're going to talk about that, literally, pun intended. Paria is coming to Northumberland County. The Center for Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness is up and running in Williamsport. It's a dispensary. Krista Krebs, the through line through those two companies. She's CEO and co-owner. She got brought two of her good co-workers today. Melissa Foreman is here, Chief Compliance Officer, and Nicole Moyers is Director of Community Outreach and Special Programs. We're going to continue our conversation about the medical marijuana and what's in the future when we come back. You're welcome to join the conversation. We have one email with some questions, but we'll take some more. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. We invite you to use the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line because Terry out of the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills would want you to. It was not going to be long now that maybe he'll end up with something that relates to a cannabinoid-type derivative that he can talk about. So we can discuss that. Tyler out at Trutz Pharmacy in Walnut Street, if there is a drug that's new and would work like this type of a conversation, he can help you out. Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street in Northumberland, always keeps up on the latest information. They're wide open now that Duke Street construction's on a pause. Kathy's out at the Danville Pharmacy on Mill Street in Danville, always the smartest woman in the world wherever she goes, and she is ready, willing, and able to help each and every customer with whatever they need. Jennifer's at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. There's a reason she's the head pharmacist there, and because she stays very, very current on everything that's coming out that relates to all the new drugs. And Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. He's the interactive guru. He knows more about drug interaction than anyone else in the world, I think. And that's Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. He's one of the owners, 2nd Street in Lewisburg. They're the Hometown Pharmacies.
I decided to write a little song. Here goes. My hometown pharmacy is great because of all these things. Personalized service, friendly employees. They're always glad to see me. They help out my whole family. My grandmom really likes them, and she's super picky. They know me by my nickname. Bet you still can't guess mine. Ha, ha, ha. Pharmacists who care. Really low prices and all that other stuff that my mom likes, but I just don't understand. Happy holidays from me, hometown kid, and from everyone at the Hometown Pharmacies in Bloomsburg, Northumberland, Lewisburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Mifflinburg, and Danville. And Happy New Year. P.S. My nickname is not Hometown Kid.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Special thanks to Mr. Sean Carey. He's hard at work as our producer, filling in for Rob Center. It is official now. It takes three men to replace Rob.
Wow.
So all week long we've had Chad and Matt Cotrillo and now Sean Carey. So everybody's helping out. You're listening to On the Mark. We're talking about medical marijuana. We got some real experts here. Some majority women-owned and operated businesses are our topic. Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness and Paria, both co-owned by the CEO, Krista Krebs, who is here. And if you'll remember back to May or early June, we met the other co-owner, Mary Pat Julius. Mary Pat Julius?
Mm-hmm.
Julius.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. So, yeah, I have a great memory. I know. Thank you. And Melissa Foreman is here, and Nicole Moyer is also part of these companies. Joe is on the line. You are welcome to call or to ask our professionals a question. If you'd like, Joe, go right ahead.
Good morning, ladies. I have two questions. There was a recent article that came out in the Philadelphia News about permit scoring with errors and irregularities. Do you feel that anything like that would affect the business in Northumberland County with the potential change of commissioners next year? And secondly, Mr. John Gembick, who was another applicant for the Phase 2 grower, recently did an interview one-on-one on video with the Daily Item where he had planned to give 5% to Shamokin Municipality, Cole Township, and the school district every month from the profits. I was wondering if you guys were willing to do the same, match it, or if not, what were you willing to do for the communities that surround your business?
Oh, wow. Holy smokes, Joe. That's right. I remember you called the last time, so you you got good questions. Okay, so
I've been following a lot of these things for a long time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Okay, well, good for you. Okay, well, let's... All right, well, hold on, Joe. These are long answers.
It's a million-dollar business to get...
All right, hold on. All right, so let's go.
Okay,
fluctuations in scoring.
First one, the ACRCs have nothing to do with our current permit. It's not going to affect us one way or the other.
That's where fluctuations in the scoring was found?
Right. Under the Act 16, there was a Chapter 20 provision where ACRCs, which are large learning institutions, UPMC, Thomas Jefferson,
Geisinger.
Lee Common. Geisinger didn't participate. But there were 8 ACRCs designated, and then they could partner up with a company to have a grow and then 6 dispensaries. And the article he's referring to, there was an announcement that was made Wednesday, I believe, that said that all 8 applications had to get returned for either 2 had low scores, lower than the awarded commercial licenses, and the other 6 had just missed details within the application itself. So they decided to scratch it for the moment and then have an application process again sometime in 2019.
And this is an application to do this
to have these huge partnerships.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
And that has absolutely nothing to do with the Northumberland County Commission.
It has nothing to do.
If I could detect that accurately.
Yeah, okay. It's not related in any way.
All right, 5% seems to be a benchmark being talked about for Perea's good support in the Cole Township
right.
community.
So in our community impact proposition, and Nikki might have actually more to say about it since she wrote a little bit more, we picked some of some projects that are sort of close to us as a group. One of them is hunger. The rate of hunger in our state is saddening to me on a daily basis when you look at it. So we had a good chunk, and I won't give all the details specifically, was to be helping the chuck wagon. Is it God's chuck wagon?
Mm-hmm. Sure, the man with the bus.
Man with the bus, because they're under constant need for resources. They feed so many people. The work that they do daily is just, it's just selfless and honorable and amazing, and they barely scrape by sometimes to feed everybody. And they need a new bus. So that was one of the things that we had said that we would be working on. Nikki, do you want to?
Yeah, I can jump in. So we had spoken in our community impact about a couple different groups or different things that we had really become passionate about. We have a nonprofit with that focuses on veterans. So last month we ended up doing a special for anyone in the dispensary. If we were offering a discount, whether it be SSI or a veterans discount or any of the discounts, we did a totality of them, and we're matching that totality and donating to the food bank in the area. So that last month, I believe it was like around seven.
I don't have all the numbers yet. It's not closed out yet.
It was a substantial amount of money that we are making a donation this holiday season to the food bank. So that's something that we're going to continue going forward with Perea. We haven't set up all of the infrastructures of how we're going to do that, but since we have both a grow operation and a retail operation, it allows us to do different types of promotions that, you know, vary, that still affect kind of change in the community. So we have that. We also discussed about doing scholarships within the Shamokin Cole Township area. We are going to be working with Shamokin area and Cole Township to do like grant writing and to do certain things where we are able to help build parks. And there's so many different things that we're trying to do moving forward, but we just haven't gotten off the ground right now to be able to do that. So we don't, when we have if you talk about a 5% of the profits, it takes a really long time to be able to become profitable on this grand scheme of how expensive this endeavor is. Okay. So we want to be able to start now.
Does that answer your question, Joe?
Yeah, kind of. I was just, because Shamokin is the financially distressed area, but it also affects the areas around it. That's why I didn't know if there was going to be any direct to, you know, percentage given to, you know, like I said, the school district. And it's great that you guys are doing scholarships and helping out, you know, the future of the area, and the hunger is something that's always welcomed and amazing.
Well, and veterans.
Not really across the state, but as far as, like, trying to help these municipalities with the business, the multi-million-dollar business this could bring.
Right,
are you guys
you.
Willing to give anything directly to the municipalities to kind of help with projects, maybe,
right.
you know, with the renovations of cities and things like that?
Legally, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
There's legal issues.
Appreciate
with that
the call,
too.
Direct contributions to municipalities. But you sounds like you're doing perfectly normal street level, real charitable work. You're not supporting some big foundation.
Right.
Elsewhere.
We're trying to get to where the people are. You know, that's where, you know, that's what we're trying to impact is people every day.
Was this on your permit application?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The so community impact.
Okay, well, which is fine. Here's my point on this. This is somewhat absurd for you guys to have to go through this or anyone else. That's nice, you want to help. But your philanthropic endeavors should be you. Get your business up, get you running, you're doing things legally. Now, when you get strong-armed into saying you have to do this or have to do that after that, so this is a red herring, and this is the part that business people detest, most business people. You guys had to go through it. It's great that you know, but for them to have that on an application for your business. No, the business application and the permitting and that should all be business-like. Now, if you want to give to this area or this area. So the caller calls in. So basically what this is strong-arming. So we're going to allow you to come in here. You're going to make all this money. Now, you have to give back to the community. I take it you're going to pay your taxes.
They hope they make
You're
going to
pay
money.
Your water and sewer bill, right? So the more successful your business is, then let the owners be philanthropic on this. But for the government to make decisions based on what you think you're going to do, okay, so should Geisinger start giving more money back? Should Shamokin Hospital, you know, a source of Geisinger, give money to Cole Townsend?
This is why we invite a businessman.
but I'm just saying, I understand. Yeah. But for that to be on applications, now, your overall community development or your community outreach, boy, that's almost like art. Mm-hmm. That picture looks great. That picture might not look so great. But my point is you should be able to get your business up and running. You made the point, Nicole. You have to be profitable. Hopefully 3-5 years, whatever. Now, I will say this. I have a little bit of a gray area, a little bit of rub here, is thinking, should the wholesaler and the retailer be attached at the hip? Which
so,
you sort of are.
Yeah, well, let me explain that. I think our goal when we went into the grower to apply, and it was insurmountable odds. I mean, our background was not in this. We just assembled a dream team, as I call it. When we went into this, I was seeing these huge costs of product from other growers, and this is a tough business from a tax perspective. We are taxed so high, and the IRS does not recognize us, and we're taxed under 280E.
Which we discussed. And
so it is insane. I mean, people just do not realize the tax burden, and it's even feasible in some models that you may end up, even though you look like you have a profit, or even a loss. If you have a loss, then you could still owe the IRS taxes in this business. It's just goofy. So, but we went into this because we were seeing our patients who are, you know, the 21 conditions, a lot of these patients are on Social Security disability. They're living paycheck to paycheck, mm-hmm. and they want an alternative medicine to what they've been using from a pharmaceutical standpoint.
And insurance is still a little bit of a gray area, too.
Yeah, insurance is a gray area.
People don't understand that, so that's your problem.
And we're actually seeing, there's some case precedents getting set, you know, not to divert too much, with workers' comp insurers paying mm-hmm. for yep. product. We know that there's a bill pending in New York about their insurers being able to cover medical marijuana products. We're going to start seeing this, you know.
So you saw this, but you said, okay, we can run the retail side, but we're getting charged. Can we do this ourselves?
Can we do this ourselves?
And start our own.
Affect our bottom line and be able to pass that savings on to our consumers.
Well, and from a business standpoint, that could make some sense.
Right.
In this strange industry of bringing drugs, quote unquote, into now the medical side, does it I guess, will it work? Does it work? But I'm looking at the wholesale and the retail side. I'm thinking, okay, is there a little bit of a conflict of interest? Yes, no, but in between. But it's such a new industry. But you guys took the business side of it. The equation makes sense. And you went into, hey, we can wholesale it and retail it and be better.
And affect the costs, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, and affect about our own bottom line. Yeah. And that's what we really need to do to be able to pass that on to our patients.
It's capitalism. God bless capitalism. It made this country what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well said. Thank you so much, Ben. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll take more callers. If anybody has more questions, 1-800-795-9565. We're glad to say that the co-owner of Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness, a dispensary, appropriately enough, on High Street in Williamsport, is the dispensary for medical marijuana products. And Perea is the company that's coming to Northumberland County. We're going to do a little bit of a kind of start at the basic beginning when we come back on the Mark. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, talking to Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness and Perea. Start at the beginning. Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness is a dispensary. So in Pennsylvania's law, your company was able to apply for and get one of the licenses to be somebody that is the go-to place for people that want medical marijuana.
Correct.
So how hard was that to do, and how is the business running?
I'm going to have Melissa answer that one.
Well, we're all still alive.
You survived, okay.
Yeah, barely. It was very intense, a lot of 20-hour days sleeping in cars, sleeping in offices, back and forth, a lot of emails, a lot of tears. There was a lot of everything. It was it's one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Okay, and when you're talking about the subtleties of filling out this kind of an application that goes to the Department of Health, mm-hmm. you're talking about really pivotal background checks of everybody that's involved in this.
Absolutely.
And subtle how-to, maybe then therefore questions that are very complex.
Go ahead.
There were 5,000-word narratives.
Prior to a question.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily a question. It would be like, here's your, what's your diversity statement, you know, and they would give you a couple prompts, and then you hope that you write to the answer that they want to see, you know, from a scoring standpoint.
Now, who is this going to? State Health?
Department of Health. Yeah. Okay. And again, the state has done such a nice job with our program compared to other states. For the most part, the scores were anonymous, so they wouldn't get hassled or subject to bribery or whatever else you can think of. So we, to this day, don't know who the scorers were.
But you know what your score was.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and we were very, very pleased with our score.
And were you all Pennsylvanians?
Yeah, we are, you know, we're a bit of the underdog, quite honestly, compared to some of the other companies. We're all natives of Pennsylvania.
So why wouldn't Pennsylvania want Pennsylvanians? You should probably get a point for just being a Pennsylvanian.
I would hope so. I would hope so. I know other states sort of give extra points if you're local to their state. But, you know, 70% went into large Fortune 500 medical marijuana companies, mm-hmm. and the other 30% were, you know, smaller companies like ours, or, you know, people with backgrounds that had the heart for it and just put together the right team of people.
Now, you run this business for 2 or 3 years. Do you have, is there any hurdles that you have to overcome before you can sell your company? Because you know who's going to come looking if you're profitable.
Everyone.
The guys from Canada.
Yeah. Oh, they're already, I know, they're already down here snooping around. I don't know, hurdles per se. I've had numerous businesses
operated. You have a business so you can sell it. It just happens to be medical marijuana.
It has to be approved by the Department of Health.
Okay, yeah,
so
I mean.
It does have to be approved by them. Okay.
Right. Whoever buys it would have to meet the same qualifications.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You know, clean backgrounds. That's, I don't know.
Okay.
Decent character.
Did they favor the company because it's majority owned, women owned?
I'm sorry, what?
Women owned? Did you get an extra point for that, or so to speak?
I think in the diversity section, we probably got scored a little better.
It would make. You know, in today's climate, it would be and if you were a veteran, you probably, I mean, the whole scenario.
Right. Not just us and our team, but also those who we are doing vendor contracts with. Mm-hmm. That's how we wrote our diversity narratives, mm-hmm. is that we would, anyone who's going to help with our construction or building or, you know, marketing, packaging, all of those things, we really tapped into those diverse partners so that we could be able to help, you know, the individuals in our area. It wasn't just diverse, but we wanted local as well. So we really tapped into that in our diversity
narratives. And I understand parts of that, but then again, you should be able to run your business the way you want to run. Meaning that if somebody, you know, somebody who is diverse is the best price, fine. If somebody who might not be as diverse as the best price, that's your choice to run your business.
And we're,
but you're applying for something, you have to put on the and you get.
I think in our narrative we did a reasonable job saying we're going to try to work with 50% of vendors who are mm-hmm. diverse or 60. You know, we made it a realistic number, and luckily, you know, there's great resources that say, you know, here's a woman-owned business or here's mm-hmm. a veteran-owned business. And there's enough, at least in Pennsylvania, that we've been able to get a nice mix of
competitive.
Yeah, and that's good, and that's changed a lot. I would say this. If you have an IRS bill, I would strongly suggest you pay it in product. Let those people go and test your product, and we would have initially a better IRS. I mean, it would help the IRS completely.
Do you have,
it would take the stress out of their life.
We won't even get into IRS.
One of our listeners sends a text, do you have any stodgy old white guys that are involved anywhere in the process?
My husband might be one.
There you go.
Is he left-handed?
You can pay for that.
He's right-handed? Oh, my gosh.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. Can you stay till the top of the hour? We're way past where I said we'd step out of this, but thank you. All right, so we got a glimpse of Keystone Center for Integrative Wellness. We're going to get a Northumberland County update shortly.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
About 6 minutes left on WKOK's On the Mark program. The basics of Perea coming to Northumberland County, please.
So, like I had mentioned earlier, Perea became a need and a passion for us as we were going through the process of getting our dispensary open and figuring out what I wanted to do and the group wanted to do as far as affecting patients. Perea is a Greek term for a group of people who share commonalities, who get together and share opinions. Like, it was a perfect what our group was about. And we assembled just an amazing group of people who come from a very diverse background, but are also, we included scientists, medical doctors, a lot of clinical researchers, because we do want to have clinical research programs. We do want to help develop new drugs for patients, you know, trying to fill in the gaps with what we're not seeing right now, you know. So we've got a plan, and it's just very, very exciting.
On the Northumberland County Prison campus?
Yes.
You're going to occupy an existing building?
Yes. There's a building up there that's right now. It was just perfect as we were looking around this area. We would find one, and then it would be snapped up by another group who was also looking at the time.
Or the price would double.
Or the price would double. Yeah, we had that too. Oh, two people. Okay. We had a situation where there was a large, very well-backed group who was just plopping down $5,000 holds on properties just to cut other people out of it. I mean, it can be very cutthroat. So, you know, Kathleen, who was here last time, has grown up in this area, and she had remembered this property that they had, and it was just perfect. You know, it was isolated. You know, it's not off the beaten path. it's just a perfect location.
Yeah, you're leasing it?
No, we're going to buy it.
Yep. Okay, good.
Okay, and there's a high security nearby because the prison's there, so
yeah.
Everything's
monitored. It's a win-win for all of us.
Everything's monitored in and out of there. It wouldn't be impossible that at some point a coexistence with the prison, maybe some labor or something along that line, could end up being tied.
Well, you have to have clean criminal backgrounds in order
to get involved. Okay.
To work. So that's where it could get a little tricky. I mean, we've looked at doing internships with some of the local schools and colleges. This is a burgeoning industry. There's nothing been this exciting maybe since the internet boom for me.
Well, if somebody thinks you're making $1 trillion dispensing medical marijuana and about to grow medical marijuana, there might be somebody somewhere, but this is a very, very competitive business in Pennsylvania. There are certainly companies that are in the black, but there are certainly comparable companies that are in the red.
Yeah, it's like any other business. It takes a while to grow the business and see a profit. You know, and the growers right now, they've been at the mercy of patient adoption rates through the states. You know, how many patients are signing up for the program? Where are the current dispensaries dispersed? You know, at the beginning of the year, we were seeing shortages. Now we're not necessarily seeing shortages, you know, but we're still waiting for quite a few more dispensaries to come on. So, you know, there's been challenges. And the first year is just always going to be super, super expensive.
Brief question, Ben. I see
the
forehead all squished together again.
No, it's the business program. Put X product in, if it's widgets or whatever you want to talk about, and you grow. But with this, again, you have a U.S. government that's fondly looking sideways at this. And, you know, when I say fondly, they're very intrigued, and what it comes down to is revenue. Mm-hmm. So if you were making plastic widgets instead of wooden widgets, they would be fondly saying, this is great.
Right.
So here's a vice to a degree that now you're moving into the medical side, which probably should have been, the federal government should have been involved in this in the 80s. I'm going to say after the 70s into the 80s to say this product is. And again, I will say this, why all of a sudden is marijuana the magic wand now in medical side? Is it overblown?
I think, and I'll say, and then I can
and I mean that
add,
sort of politely.
No.
Marijuana has become the cure for everything.
Well, you know,
I don't think that's fair for you guys in business, because it's not.
Right. There are 21 conditions. That's what I go back to. There's 21 approved conditions in this state for this product. What other drug can treat 21 different conditions?
Which is great.
You know? And one of the most amazing things, having worked in that dispensary, and I say it all the time, I wish I could just work, I could teleport up to that dispensary, I'd work all the day, because I love interacting with the patients. But hearing the stories of my son slept, you know, a mom with an autistic child had called us the next day and said, my son slept through the night for the first time, but he called me mommy for the first time. It slowed him down enough to be able to articulate.
All right, let me stop you there. One of our listeners says, how, if at all, do taxpayers foot the bill for people on to get access to medical marijuana? Oh, people on access to get medical marijuana? Is that approved at this point, please, Nicole?
So medical marijuana is not on the fee schedule right now for Medicaid or on any insurances within Pennsylvania. So there isn't any taxpayer footing the bill for the medication that someone might be getting in the dispensary.
Right.
So that's something that's not quite on our radar
yet. He asks if under some circumstances it could help you get some sleep?
Yes, there are a lot of different conditions, like Krista had said, that although insomnia or certain things might not be conditions, those individuals who have chronic pain have, you know, are up all night and can't sleep because of their other, you know, their other issues.
So this could be a real game changer for them.
It is.
Well, thank you so much for coming back. I only have 1,000 more questions.
I know. It's so much fun. Thank you
so much.
I will definitely have you back. I want you to write on your calendar 3 months. We're coming back to talk to Mark no matter what.
Sounds good.
And this time we'll give it the full attention. You and I will give them the whole table for the whole 90 minutes. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It is 10 o'clock. Dan Patrick is next.